The coming of the Holy Spirit upon us is an incredibly important reality. We know that it's important in many different ways. First of all, St. Paul, in his writings, in his letters in the New Testament, speaks to us about the vital importance of the Holy Spirit, being in the Spirit and not in the flesh, as we heard in today's second reading. But more than what St. Paul says, our Lord Jesus himself speaks about the importance of the Holy Spirit, that he has to go away so that the Holy Spirit will come upon us. Because now Jesus is able to abide with us, not just alongside of us, but within us. That Jesus is able to live in us through the Holy Spirit. There are many things that we can take from today's readings, but I want to point out two things in particular. First of all, when we look at the coming of the Holy Spirit, it's for the purpose of the sanctification and strengthening of each of us as individuals. But it's also for the building up of the church, the sanctifying and the growth of the church. And so we want to look at these two realities. First of all, in terms of the sanctifying of the individual, we see, as we find in today's gospel, Jesus breathes on the apostles and bestows the Holy Spirit upon them for the purpose of the forgiveness of sins. Now, the forgiveness of sins is one of the essential elements that we have in order to bring us back into communion with God. Sin alienates us from God. The forgiveness of sins restores our relationship. And if God had only done that, that would have been marvelous. That would have been wonderful. We would have had more than enough to be grateful for. But that's not all that he has done. It's not just the forgiveness of sins so that our relationship with God could be restored. God elevates us to become children of God, that we share in the very life of God. And that's why St. Paul, in today's second reading, talks about the Spirit that's been given so that we can cry out, Abba, Father, that we're given this Spirit of adoption as children of God. So we're made one with God, not just through forgiveness, but through that whole process of adoption that begins for us when we're baptized. That we are no longer simply creatures of God, but now we become children of God. But it also, the Holy Spirit is given to us to sanctify us, but also to strengthen us in order to carry out the demands of the gospel. What God is asking of us to do, because it's not just that God bestows these gifts upon us, God bestows these gifts in order for us to live out the plan of God in our life. And again, when I look at today's second reading from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, we see that up until this point, in the first seven chapters of St. Paul's letter to the Romans, he mentions the Spirit maybe twice. But in the eighth chapter, he mentions the Spirit over and over and over again, because the eighth chapter is all about suffering and basically showing that we are not able, we are incapable of ourselves, of following as disciples of Jesus, unless we receive the power from on high. That's why Jesus said to the disciples, after giving them this commission to go into all the world and proclaim the good news, but he said, but don't do anything until the power from on high comes upon you. Why does he say that? Because we can't do it. All the way through the Old Testament, one of the great messages, one of the great instructions that God is trying to get through to us is that we are wounded far more severely because of sin than what we realize. So often when God gives the commandments, the people respond, for example, when Moses does this or Joshua does this, when they're given the commandments of God, they respond by saying, what the Lord said, we will do. And then they don't do it. They say yes, and then they live out their no. I don't think it's because they were insincere when they said yes. But I think that they didn't realize just how wounded they were, so that they were not able to do this simply by their own power. The passage from the book of Joshua is a very interesting one, because it's that very famous passage where Joshua says, "For me, as far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord." But he puts that out. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve the Lord, or are you going to serve these other gods that your ancestors served? And of course they say, well, we'll serve the Lord. And Joshua says, well, you can't serve the Lord. You know, Joshua is showing to them in this exchange that even as they're saying that they're going to serve the Lord, already their hearts are not with the Lord. Already their hearts are separated from God. And so he's showing them that you can't do this simply by your own power. You don't realize just how weak and wounded you are. So this is why we need the power from on high. Again, we see how stubborn the people of the Old Testament were in terms of learning this lesson from God. But the fact of the matter is, we are still stubborn when it comes to learning this lesson from God. When we look at the small percentage of people who on a census form would say that they're Catholic, the small percentage of those people who are here in church every weekend, what does that say? It says that they think, I can do it on my own. I don't need what God is providing for me. I don't need the sacraments. I don't need all of these other things. I can do it by myself. And the entire history of the Old Testament, God is telling us, no, you can't. You can't do it on your own. You can only do it by the power of God. So there's the whole thing of sanctifying the individual and strengthening the individual. But there's more to it, because it's also about the church. Because God doesn't simply give us sanctifying gifts. God doesn't give us simply gifts to sanctify us. God also gives us what are called the charismatic gifts. And the charismatic gifts are not for us. It's so that we can share with others, so that we can do our part in building up the body of Christ. Because it's not just me and God, it's us and God. God is building up his church, and God has given us these gifts, wanting us to use them for the purpose of building up the church. I'm very pleased that this coming fall, because, you know, you need the right people involved with this, people who actually have the qualifications to offer this particular program. But we are doing once again in our parish the Called and Gifted program starting in the fall. And the Called and Gifted program is all about this. Each and every one of us, by virtue of our baptism and our confirmation, have been given gifts from God. But one of the things that we fail to do is try to discover what these gifts are and then to put them into practice, to exercise the gifts that God has given to us. Because not everybody has the same spiritual gifts given to them by Almighty God. We have to try to discern them. And part of the way that we discern what gifts God has given to us is when we put them into practice. And so we spend some time thinking about it, trying to figure out, because our spiritual gifts do not necessarily correspond to our natural gifts, our natural talents. A person might have a natural talent, for example, for music, but that doesn't mean that that's their spiritual gift. How can we tell what a spiritual gift is? Well, very often we tell by what it does to us and what it does for others. If we find that we're able to exercise this gift with a certain amount of ease and a certain amount of joy, and if it produces in others a response of drawing them to God, then we can tell that that's our spiritual gift. I'll give you an example. One of the examples that they use in the Called and Gifted program, they talk about these two ladies who wanted to go and help out in a soup kitchen. And so the two of them were there serving the homeless people who came to have a meal. And one of them was just filled with joy as she was exercising this ministry. It was something that she was able to do with a certain amount of ease. Doesn't mean that a person doesn't get tired. That's not what it means. But it means that a person is exercising this and it gives them life. Gives them life. This other person, it was just tuckering them out. But when she stopped serving, when she stopped doing the serving, and she went to visit with the people, that's what brought her life. So she saw that her spiritual gift was different than this other person's. This one person was in the serving, another person it was in the visiting. And so again, it's that whole question of discerning what our gifts are so that we can put them in at the service of the gospel. And by doing that, we can build up the body of Christ. So there's so much that we can look at when it comes to the gift of the Holy Spirit. But I just want to leave this with you, that it's for the sanctifying of the individual, the strengthening of the individual, but also the building up of the church. All of these are the reasons that God gives us the Holy Spirit. And we want to celebrate that today, but we also want to think about the great gift that God has given to us and to put the gifts that God has given to us into practice for our salvation as well as for the building up of our brothers and sisters.